Your Saturday morning weekend wake-up call. It's Rosie on the house. Good morning, Arizona. Thank you for tuning in. In the 7 o'clock hour, we get to talk about really whatever Rosie wants to talk about. And then we get into landscape and gardening in the 8 o'clock hour. 9 o'clock, we talk about whatever you want to talk about. And at 10 o'clock today, we're going to be talking in particular about bathroom history and trends. So stay tuned. We'll have a great morning of information for y'all all morning long. We're here this morning with Dr. Lee Allison, Arizona State Geologist and Director for the Arizona Geological Survey, talking about the earthquake swarms and activity and the fault lines. And before we leave earthquakes and move on to some of the other topics I wanted to address, Dr. Allison, when we had that earthquake at Black Canyon City last fall, now am I remembering it right? That was a fault y'all weren't really aware of, or an active area that took us by surprise?
Yeah, that's an area where we don't have any active faults mapped. And so one of the things we're doing is looking at, there are some older faults that had been mapped in there, but there was no evidence that they were still active. So that one was actually a sequence of three earthquakes that occurred late at night. Black Canyon City, the first one, magnitude 3.2, was felt by a few people. But then 20 minutes or so later, there was a magnitude 4.1 and a 4.0. And people felt those over a large part of the state. In fact, the shaking was great enough that people felt it over an area that constituted three-quarters of the population of the state. But since most people were probably in bed at that time, most people didn't report it. But having something like that in your backyard kind of reminds you that we do have earthquakes in Arizona.
And how big does an earthquake have to be to affect a building? I know that depends on the building, but was there any damage in Black Canyon City with that size of earthquake?
I don't think we heard of any damage there. There was some damage the year before up in the Kachina Village area south of Flagstaff when there was a 4.7 earthquake, and there's still aftershocks occurring from that one. Nothing real serious. Things were knocked off walls and a few things were knocked down, but I think we may have seen a few cracks in some patio slabs, maybe, but nothing more serious than that.
And that Kachina Village fault, it's basically the Oak Creek Valley, am I right?
Yeah, there is an Oak Creek Canyon fault zone that runs through there, and it's one of the more active areas in the state. And so that was not so much of a surprise.
And then you've got a pretty significant fault going from Lake Mary right to the base of Humphreys Peak, right?
Yeah, that's what we think right now is probably the most active fault in the state and the one that we think may have the biggest risk to folks because it heads right into Flagstaff. So we've been working with Coconino County planners and emergency officials up there to make sure that we have the best understanding we can of the earthquake hazard and they're well prepared for it.
I have never felt an earthquake.
I have.
You have?
Mm-hmm. That big one that was in California, it was like 19... What was that great big one over there, Dr. Allison?
Well, which 19, great big one
well,
over
19,
there?
Well, 19... Yeah, the kids were all little, so I'm going to say 1985, maybe.
Okay. Well, I remember a number of great big earthquakes in California. I lived there for about 20 years.
So wow.
I've lived through my share of them.
Well, this is one I felt here right in Phoenix. The pool sloshed and the bedrooms, you know, the beds shifted. It was.
I've never felt one, so, and that's okay with me. And talking about earthquakes with Dr. Allison isn't an intent to try and drive up anybody's anxiety. It's just a thing that's got my curious corner of the mind engaged. But this map that y'all have recently drawn up on earthquake activities, a pretty fascinating YouTube demonstration.
Romy posted that this morning on our, if you go to our website, rosieonthehouse.com, right on the right, there's a link.
Okay.
Take it to our FAQ, and you can watch what Rosie and I watch. It's just all the little earthquakes light up. It's amazing.
Since the 1850s.
Right, and one of the things, when you watch that, it looks like it's a time-lapse motion picture, basically, looking down on Arizona, starting in 1852, and then every second you go through almost 3 years of history, and you see the historic earthquakes before we had instruments. So those are ones that people reported. They were in the newspapers. They were large enough that people felt them. And as you get up into the modern days, and we start putting instruments out, we start seeing more earthquakes and more smaller ones. And then as the video finishes up, it looks like the entire northern part of the state is just lighting up with earthquakes. And the sense you have is, oh, my God, it's the end of the world.
Good for you to temper that, yes.
It's just that we now have instruments out there and we're able to detect those. So we think that's probably the level of earthquake activity that's been going on for a very long time, but we just weren't aware of it.
And today, April 30th, is America's Preparathon, National Day of Action for Preparing to Deal with Natural Disasters.
That's right. And I think it's so appropriate that we're doing this show today, because this is one of those days when we try to step back and say, natural hazards, natural disasters do occur, and we need to be prepared for them. And there's a lot of things we can do. And having lived in California, we think about that stuff all the time. But since I've been living in Arizona, I can't tell you how many people have told me that, oh, I moved here from California to get away from the earthquakes, or thank goodness I live here and we don't have to deal with earthquakes. And actually, we do. In fact, we're coming up on the anniversary of the biggest earthquake ever to affect Arizona. May 3rd, 1887, there was a 7.2 to 7.5 earthquake about 40 miles south of Douglas in northern Mexico, but it did damage all the way from Albuquerque to Phoenix to Yuma, and as many as 50 people died. Buildings were knocked down all over southern Arizona. And it's the kind of event that could occur again. We have some big faults running across the region that only have big damaging earthquakes maybe every few thousand years.
Well, I mean, as a novice, you know, you drive the great state of Arizona, and there's hardly a corner of the state I haven't been to. I mean, you've got the upthrust of the superstitions, and I keep addressing the Mogollon Rim. You've got all the lava flows and the volcanic activity and domes up around Coconino County. I mean, it historically has been a very active geological location.
It is, yes, and I think we get lulled into that false sense of security if it doesn't happen at the same frequency it does in places like California or Japan. And so that's why having a day like this where we say, hey, let's step back and take a look at this, and I think it's really appropriate covering on your show, because a lot of the preparation people can do are things like tying down water heaters or making sure you have your emergency supplies in a place that if there's damage, you can still get to them. So there's some real simple things people can do to be prepared and minimize the damage and be able to keep your household going even after a disaster.
America's Preparathon.
Romy spent a lot of time last year going through emergency preparedness. Romy, does that still live on the website? People can find
it. It does.
How do they find it?
In our do-it-yourself question and answer articles, there is a category called preparedness.
It's a very extensive list of even where to buy things, things to think about.
Things you should have in your car. You know, mm-hmm. things you should always have in your car, things you should always have at your home.
It's a breakdown. It starts by, there's actually 12 articles. One's water, one's food, one's lighting, one's power sources. So it's all broken down by category.
It's a great resource.
Okay. Now, let's wrap up earthquakes. I just want to know one thing. You don't have to give us your address, Dr. Allison, but where does the Arizona State geologist live?
Yes, we have a website with a variety of different earthquake materials, and you can we have an interactive map that monitors all the earthquakes, landslides, debris flows, earth fissures, and that's at our site at azgs.az.gov. And we'll make sure you have that so you can post it on your site.
Excellent.
Do it one more time, Dr. Allison. People always ask me to repeat it. One more time.
Right. So www.azgs.az.gov.
Thank you.
Or if you just do a search for Arizona Geological Survey, we should pop up.
Now, let's talk about this new map of landslides y'all have come up with. I originally met you by phone driving home from Payson with my entire family. Wayne Dahl, my son-in-law, was sitting in the passenger seat. We were coming around the bend that's near Sunflower, Arizona. And I pointed up to the right-hand side. I said, Wayne, look at that fault. That's new. That's just released. And it was like the next day the highway experienced that collapse or that rippling, that waving. I got a hold of Doug Nintzel at ADOT, and he said, well, you don't talk to me. Call Dr. Allison.
Yeah, and we worked really closely with ADOT on that. The highway had been built a number of years ago before mapping had identified those areas as landslide prone. The early mapping that was done long time ago by some consultants just thought that was normal debris coming down off the hillside. But after that event tore up the highway, we got our geologists out in the field, and we realized, yes, that was an active landslide. And in fact, it was just a small piece of a much, much bigger landslide up on the mountainside that was very extensive. And so as ADOT, their first reaction from the engineers out there was, well, let's clear everything off the highway and lay that slope back. But in landslides, when you take away material from the toe of the landslide, it destabilizes it. So as we worked with ADOT there, they recognized that right away as well, said, no, we're not going to pull all of that material off. We need to keep that there and stabilize that toe. And they ended up putting in these giant I-beams. They drilled vertical holes, I think as much as 40 feet down, and put I-beams vertically in there. And the intent is they go down deep enough to get below the base of the slide. And so there's a whole wall of these I-beams there now in place to help stabilize that toe and keep it from moving down on the highway.
Absolutely fascinating. I want to come back and talk about that map y'all have created and just the number of landslides y'all identified. Here at Rosie on the House with Dr. Lee Allison, our Arizona State Geologist.